Well, good morning to everyone. Hope you all had a very enjoyable week and things went well for you. I was thinking of Linda and Dave. I remember talking to Dave long ago at the picnic grove at one of the reunions we had. He was always an enjoyable person to be with. And so we really do need to keep him in our prayers. God will be merciful and intervene for him. Well, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians 10. We'll start there this morning on this beautiful Sabbath day. It's just wonderful outside after the snow we had and rain this week. So in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul writes us a very encouraging thing and tells us something to do and something we should learn. And we'll start in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, Paul writes, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. So he's talking about the children of Israel, right? Passed through the Red Sea. He says, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food, and they all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So it tells you who the God of the Old Testament was, Jesus Christ, to talk to Moses and so forth. But, verse 5, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. We remember reading the history about that and seeing what happened to them. Now, these things became our examples, so it's for us today, right? Notice what it says. To the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Remember all the idols they worshiped? They got themselves caught up in material things. They complained to God all the time. And do not, verse 7, do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 died. And you can read of that account. They were slaughtered. The death angel came to them. Verse 9, nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all of these things, Paul says in verse 11, happened to them, why? As an example, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age has come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. No temptation has overcome you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, and you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I want to look at a person in that Old Testament times today, an individual who can teach us some important lessons for us today. The man is found in Joshua. One of the places he's found is in Joshua 15:13. We'll start to look at this individual that we're going to look at and study and make some comparisons with our life today and the events that are taking place around us. Each of us are going through difficulties sometimes, or we're going through blessings at the moment, but the difficulties come at times. And this individual went through quite a few difficulties. So we'll look at Joshua 15:13. Now, to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a share among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, namely, and it names some names there, Kirjath, Abra, which is in Hebron. Abra was the father of Enoch. Caleb drove out the three, and then he talks about how Caleb's going to drive them out of that land. So today we're going to look at Caleb. He was a unique individual. He was one of those spies that went into the land of Canaan to spy out the land and came back and gave a good report. You probably remember the account of that. And then from that, he was blessed and was able to go into the promised land, and all rest of Israel was killed. for their grumbling, complaining, and so forth. Let's go to Numbers 13, 1 and 2, and we'll see them about that event that took place when they went into the promised land as spies. So it's in Numbers 13, and we're starting verse 1 and 2. Caleb was a unique individual. He had many characteristics that God wants in each of us. And we can learn a lot from what those characteristics that he had. And he also had shortcomings as well, as all of us do. In Numbers 13, verses 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their father, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So they took the 12 tribes, and they sent one man. They cast lots and went through the whole big spiel, and God chose which man was to go. Notice in verse 6, it says, and from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And it's interesting, the two that kept and obeyed God and gave back good reports, let's look at the other one who gave a good report in verse 8. What tribe was he from? From the tribe of Ephraim, Hose, the son of Nun. Who is that? Joshua, another name for Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, it's interesting that Ephraim was given certain rights by God as a tribe, and Judah was given certain characteristics and rights. One was to have the law and keep it, and the other one, as you can read in Genesis 49, I believe, where the promises are given to Ephraim, they would become a multitude of nations, and as well as would have the sepulcher, which would be the king of Judah. So each of them were unique. They were like leading tribes of the tribes of Israel. And they both had individuals that went into the promised land and brought back good reports. Now let's drop down to verse 7. So let's go drop down to verse 17 then, 13:17 of Numbers. This is talking about the event. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south. So they were supposed to go a certain way into the land and go up to the mountains and see what is the land is like and whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land may dwell in a dwelling is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabited are like camps or tents, tented cities, or stronghold, fortified cities with walls. Verse 20, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there is forest there or not. Be of good courage, Moses tells the men, those 12 individuals, and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. Around here, when is the first ripe grapes? Right before, not too long before the fall holy days, so it's probably the sixth month of the year. So they went up and spied out the land in verse 21 from the wilderness of Zin, and it reached all the way up to so forth. And they notice in verse 22, they went up through the south and went to Hebron. And remember, I just read to you that Joshua, when he seen that place, that's the place he wanted to dwell. And he actually got that place, as we'll find out a little later, when he went to the promised land many, over 40 years later. Okay, so they go up to the promised land. And notice verse 25. And they returned from the spying out of the land after 40 days. So it took them 40 days to make that trip. Okay, 40 days. So they come back and they tell about the events. In verse 26. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran, and so Kadesh, and they brought back word to them and to all the congregation, showed them the fruits of the land. They told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It is truly flowing with milk and honey, and this is its fruits. And nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, meaning with stone walls, and very large, and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, the Amalekites dwelling in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites, they dwell by the sea and along the banks of Jordan. So they talked about what they saw. Then Caleb quieted the people. He gets up and says before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it. Why was he so bold and the rest didn't seem to be? Well, we'll find out a little later. But then the men who had gone up with him, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they give the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies, the land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great strength, stature, and strength. There we saw giants, the descendants of Anak. I came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers to them, so they must have been really tall. What, 7 feet? Maybe something like that. Goliath was supposed to be over 7 feet. And they felt like grasshoppers. And we were grasshoppers in their sight, and so we were in their sight like grasshoppers. It reminds me of being on a mountain pass in Wyoming, and I believe it was the East Gate. We went over a pass. I think it was Beartooth Pass. And yeah, we were up on top of the mountain looking out over, and they were coming up over, and the road went like this, and weaved back and forth and back and forth. And the cars came up through, and you could see them pulling trailers or whatever they were pulling and so forth, and the cars looked like matchbox cars. You remember matchbox cars when you were a kid? Maybe some of you don't. I remember matchbox cars. They were supposed to be replicas of the exact car that you were looking at, and were supposed to be built to scale. Well, they looked like matchbox cars, and they weren't. But is that how they felt when they looked at those giants? They were just matchbox. They were so small. But Caleb gave a good report. And so does Joshua give a good report. Now let's go back to Exodus. Why when Caleb got up there and says, Caleb quieted the people before the Lord and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we will be able to overcome it. Why was he so strong? Let's go back to Exodus. And we'll look. We're not going to read a lot of Exodus, but let's go back to chapter 7. Exodus 7, and we'll just skim the chapters. We'll just read headlines, like in a newspaper, the events that took place in Exodus. So in Exodus 7, the children of Israel are in bondage in Egypt, right? And the first thing that happened in chapter 7, you can read it whenever you want, but you can keep reading. But in verse 18, the water turns to blood, right? That was one of the first things God did. Chapter 8, the frogs cover the land. And then we get in chapter 8, the plagues of lice. Remember the plague of lice? And the swarms of flies. Some of these happened to the Israelites as well, and eventually they didn't happen in the land of Goshen, as you can read. But Pharaoh refused to let them go, right? Then the flies destroyed, they were destroyed. Then there came a thing with livestock, then the pestilence on the livestock. And then they had hail and fire came down from the ground, from the heavens that God sent to them, and there was a plague of that, right? And then the plague of locusts came and ate everything else that was left. Caleb saw all that. He was a slave. It'll tell you later, or we'll get to a point where it tells you, but when he left Egypt, he was 40 years old. 40 years old. He saw those things take place. And he had something happen to him when he saw those things take place. The plague of locusts in chapter 10. And Pharaoh wouldn't let him go, right? And then it says the Passover. Remember the Passover and the lamb and the blood sprinkled on the doorpost. And which was representing of Christ, right? We knew from the New Testament. He sacrificed for mankind. But he was in there. He was in his house. And the death angel passed over. And he heard the Egyptians screaming and wailing as their firstborn children died. He heard it. So did all of Israel that were there. Did it have an effect on them? Well, it must have had a great effect on Caleb. Then they go out and Pharaoh lets them leave, right? And firstborn, and they go out to Pharaoh's, they get to the Red Sea. Let's see, I think that's in Exodus 13. And we'll read Exodus 13, verse 17. We'll just give you a synopsis there. You all remember that probably. If not, before you get to the Passover this year, read the book of Exodus and the children of Israel coming out. It has a lot of meaning for us today. As Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 10. Well, now, in Exodus 13, verse 17, notice what it says. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh let the people go that God did not lead them by the way of the land of Philistines. No, he didn't lead them on the trade route. That was the easiest and the short route. He took them a different way, although it was the nearest, for God said, at least perhaps the people change their mind when they see war and return to Egypt. 18. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. So God does everything in order, doesn't he? He led them out in order. Verse 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph. Joseph was the leader in Egypt. Remember, he was one of the greatest leaders right under Pharaoh. He was one of the tribes of Israel, one of the 12 tribes. And it says that Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under the solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you. So he knew he was coming, and God was going to deliver them. And you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Ethan at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by the day in a pillar of cloud. So they saw, he saw the pillar, right? All Israel saw the pillar of cloud. Why did he give them a pillar of cloud? They were going in the desert. The sun was hot. They put the pillar of cloud above them, and they were in shade. A wonderful blessing from God. Caleb saw that. And a pillar of fire. Let's see if I'm right. And a pillar of fire by night, to light so they could see, so as to go by day and night. They could go both day and night. God was in the pillar of fire, and God was in the cloud. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Then they get Pharaoh attacks, right? So can you imagine being at the Red Sea and looking back, and here comes Pharaoh's army with all his chariots, and the pillar of fire moves back behind you, stands between Pharaoh's army and you at the Red Sea. Caleb saw that. So did all of Israel. Why was Caleb so strong when he makes that statement? When he comes back from the promised land, we can do it! Because he saw it. He was convicted. Let's drop down then to verse. So they see the pillar of fire by night. They saw the cloud by day. It gave the protection from the desert sun and light to see by night. It was a protection from the Egyptians as well, the fire was. Exodus 14, 13, and 15. Let's go there next. And here they are at the Red Sea. Notice what God says to Moses. And he says, which then Moses tells the children of Israel. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still. Stop your wandering around, getting all worked up. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Caleb saw that. And when Moses touched the rod, he lifted up his rod, he stretched it over in verse 16 over the sea. It divided the children of Israel, and they go on dry land through the midst of the sea. Verse 17, indeed, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and they will follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his armies, and the chariots and horsemen. Then the Egyptians saw and knew. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gain honor for myself over Pharaoh and his chariots and horsemen. And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. The pillar of cloud went before them and stood behind them. So God was protecting them. Caleb saw that. So did Joshua. So did all those Israelites see that. They must have been just baffled to see the awesomeness of God's power. And I'm sure that's not all of his power. Probably just a little bit. Well, they sing a song in chapter 15. It's called the Song of Redemption after they get through the Red Sea. You can read that sometime if you want. It was a song. Why did they sing a song? Because most people can remember a song. If you sing it over and over and again, you can remember all the words. And then you can recite it to your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, if you get to see them. Well, now, so they get to the Red Sea, they see the Red Sea. And notice in verse 14 there in chapter Exodus 14, it said, "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Notice verse 18 through 20 of Exodus 14. Oh, I read that to you. Okay, so we don't need to go back there. So if God was fighting, God would fight for them. So then they go to the wilderness, right? And they wandered in the wilderness for a long time. And God was with them. And the events that took place in the wilderness, they started grumbling, remember? They had no food, so God gave them manna. And they grumbled and said they had no water. It went 3 days and had no water. You can read that in Exodus 15 there, 22. God throws, it was bitter water. God gives Moses, cut down a tree, puts it in the water. The water becomes good. And they have water. But they're complaining. But the whole time, the Israelites see that God was a wonderful, loving God. He was taking care of them. He gave them water. He gave them food when they needed it. And Caleb realized that all he had to do was do what God said, and God would bless them. Do we have that same trust as Caleb? Do we have that trust? And do we have that faith like Caleb has, as he shows when he comes back from the spying out the land? Do we have trust and faith like Caleb? Well, Exodus 15, 24, let's read that one. This is where they're drinking the water, and the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" One of these times. So Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and when he had cast it in the water were made sweet, and there he made a statue. And he said, notice what God says in verse 26. "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought to the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you." So God made a promise there. There was something that each of the Israelites had to do. They were to keep his commandments, do what's right in his sight, and keep his statutes, and then God promised to do these promises to the children of Israel. But, as you know, they kept complaining. Verse 25, and let's see, is 26? Is that the same place? Exodus 15. Right, I read that to you. Okay. So, Caleb heard, but he believed God. He knew that if he kept those commandments and did what he said, God promised he would fight their battles for them. So when he came back from the spies and they were all getting bad reports, oh, they're giants, they've got this, and fortified cities, we'll never be able to take them. Caleb wasn't like that. He had an ideal in his mind of what God said he was going to do, and he believed God, and he did it. Are we like that? Do we believe what God says, and do we do it? In our lives, we have heard the truth, right? God has opened our minds. He's told us how to live. He's told us what to do and live by God's ways. So, are we like Caleb? Or aren't we? Let's go to Numbers 13, verse 30, back to where I read before, when he came out of the promised land and seen the spies respond, and we'll read Caleb's event one more time. Caleb 13, verse 30 and 33. Then Caleb quieted the people. Remember, he's seen all these things in his life. He's dedicated. He's committed. Before called quiet the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." And then, of course, all the men said, "No, we can't go up. We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone is a spied out the land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people who were saw it in it are men of great stature." And they talked about the great height. So these men saw the same events as Caleb, right? But they didn't trust God. They somehow missed out and forgot or lost their memories of going through the Red Sea, seeing the trials of the plagues of Egypt, hearing the wails of the Egyptians crying for their firstborns on the Passover night. But they seem to have forgotten that. They forgot the manna that God gave them to feed them in the desert. They forgot about the water that God provided, and he even gave them meat with quail, but they forgot. Do we forget? Do we remember? Paul says we're to learn from the examples of what I've given in the Old Testament, these events that took place. I never like the concept when people say, "Now the story we're going to look today in the Old Testament, they aren't stories. Those are facts. God put them down in the Bible. Otherwise, they're not stories. They're events. They took place. It happened. It's for us to learn." So we're looking at Caleb today and seeing what we can learn. So they all saw the same events as Caleb. Do we lack the confidence that God will do what he says for us? Do we lack the confidence? I mean, in our lives, they're not exactly like Caleb's. We're not going into the promised land in the sense we're looking for the kingdom that way. But I mean, we didn't pass through the Red Sea, right? We didn't see that sea open up. And we weren't there to hear the cries of the Egyptians' firstborn slaughtered and the parents crying desperately for their children, begging for their gods to intervene and bring them back to life. Do we lack the confidence that God will do what he says for us? Let's go to Numbers 14, verse 1 now. Just keep coming down from Numbers 13. "So all the children lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night after they heard this report. Did they follow what Caleb and Joshua said? Well, unfortunately not. Verse 2, "All the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if we had died in the wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us select a leader and return to Egypt.'" Notice what Moses and Aaron do in verse 5. They fell on their faces. Why? Before the assembly of the congregation of children of Israel, they were probably praying to God, "Oh, please forgive them. They don't know what they're saying." But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. They knew what was going to happen. And they spoke to all the congregation of children, saying, those two spoke, then they said, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are bread, and their protection has departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them," they said. Verse 10, and all the congregations, what did they do? All the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the God appeared in the tabernacle meeting before the children of Israel. So where the Holy of Holies was, the Ark of the Covenant, the tent just started to glow because God's presence was there. That seems what it shows when you read other places. God's presence came to that place. Notice what God says. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence, disinherit them, and I will make of you a greater nation than the mighty, mightier than they. And then, of course, Moses pleads for the nation. Oh, don't do that, God. If you do that, then all the nations will say that you didn't fulfill what you were going to do, and they will mock you. So verse 16, but the Lord was not able to bring this people to the land which he swore to give them. That's what Moses says. So therefore, says to God, he'll kill them in the wilderness. And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering. So reminding God, abundant in mercy, our Father in heaven certainly is. He's very forgiving iniquities and transgressions. But he by no means cleared the guilty visiting iniquities of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations. And pardon the iniquities of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt. I'm sorry, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even unto now. So Moses pleads to God. Notice what God does. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your words, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and the wilderness have put me to the test now these 10 times. So 10 times they've done this throughout the wilderness, walking from the Red Sea, and have not heeded my voice. They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore in their fathers, nor swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who reject me see it. They won't see the promised land. And then verse 24, but my servant Caleb, notice what it says about him, God says about him, because he has a different spirit in him, and he follows me fully. So apply that to us. We have a different spirit in us, don't we? God gave us his Holy Spirit. But do we follow him fully? Do we honestly follow him fully? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. Can God say that about you and me, that we follow him fully? Following him fully, does that doing what he commands us to commanded us to do? Do we always put God first, like Caleb did? He thought of God, he looked at his promises, and he put him first. Do we always put him first? Well, looking at myself, I get myself seem to get caught up in what I'm doing, and I'm not always putting God first. So I'm just saying what God said. He seems to always put God first. Do we? Do we always keep the Sabbath the way God wants? Are we prepared for it when the sun goes down? Or are we still driving and working our way home as the sun is setting? That's a good question. Do we prepare on the Friday before the day before the Sabbath? Or do we just crunch right up to the last minute and get in the house just as the sun sets? Just asking a question. I don't always get there on time. But that's not what God said. It's his holy day. It's his appointed time to be with us. He set it aside. How are we keeping it? When we come to the holy days, are we in the same perspective of mind? It's God's day. Oh, how close can I get to the edge? Just asking questions, because I know how I am. Sometimes I can kick myself for being the way I am. I'm awful glad God is awful merciful to us. How much do we do on the Sabbath is our own time and not God's time, since it's his special day? Just questions. Each has to answer those questions. Verse 24, and back in Numbers 14. But my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit in him, he has followed me fully. I will bring him into the land which he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now remember, Caleb's 40 years old. I'll get to that. We'll get to that scripture, shows that. He's 40 years old right now. So how old will he be when he gets to the promised land after 40 years. He's going to be 80. And they fight for 5 years, conquering the land. So he's 85 before he receives his inheritance. We'll get to that a little later. And I want you to look, when we get there, look what Caleb says about his strength at 85. Okay, so we looked at that. 29. It says, God keeps going on here. It says, and the Lord spoke to Aaron and said in verse 26, how long shall I bear with the evil congregation who complains against me? I have heard the complaints which children of Israel made against me. Say to them, as I live, say the Lord, says the Lord, just as you spoken in my heart, so I will do to you. Verse 29, the carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness, all of you who were numbered according to the entry, numbers from 20 years old and above. Except, verse 30, Caleb, the son of that gentleman, Jeroboam, and Joshua, the son of Nun, who you shall be no means enter the land which I swore to make you dwell in. So only the ones who are going to be there is Caleb and Joshua. Let's read verse 31. And remember, they said, oh, if we go, in there, our little ones, our wives, and everyone's are going to be killed. In verse 31, but your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. Your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness for 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. So your sons are going to pay the penalty for you because you wouldn't go into the promised land. They could have been raised in the promised land. But they'll have to be shepherds until that time. They're going to have to pay the penalty for your sins, the father's sins. According to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, named 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do so to all. This evil congregation who are gathered together against me in this wilderness, they shall be consumed, and they shall die. Now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report shall, about the land, die by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb were remained alive. So what happens to those men? So Moses took those words of the children of Israel in verse 39, and he mourned greatly. And they rose early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, here we are, and we are all going to the place of the promised land, which the Lord had promised for us. Promised, for we have sinned. They said, oh, we have sinned. And Moses said, now why, in verse 41, why do you transgress the command of the Lord? You shall not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. So God took his blessings away from him. He said, I will fight your battles for you. You're going into the promised land, and I'm not going to help you. And so they went up, and exactly what happened is they were pursued, and they weren't able to win the battle. God wasn't with them. Now, let's see. So they still were trying to do on their own what they wanted to do. So it should be there in 38. I must have missed it. Oh, well. It tells the events of what happens to the other ten spies that went out. And God took them all out and killed them. They were all killed because they disobeyed God. And he brought back a bad report. But I can't seem to locate it now in my notes. Of course, then you get to number 16. And what happens there? That's Korah's rebellion. And you can read that for yourselves. And, of course, the earth opens up and swallows them. Were just saying, oh, we're just as good as Moses, and rejected the leader. They still were going in the wrong direction. They didn't trust God. So, It says it's in 31. Why can't I see? It's 14:31.
37.
These very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord, but Joshua didn't, and Moses told them. Okay, so there it tells you that they were destroyed. So he's punished the spies that didn't give a good report. You know, he corrects us as well, doesn't he? When we don't do what is right, he corrects us in one way or another. He always straightens us out. He said there'll be trials sometimes, and we're to learn from those trials that we go through. And they're difficult trials. Sometimes we're to learn some important lesson and to change our ways. But the Israelites wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. They had Korah's rebellion in number 16, and there was a lot of other events that took place as they wandered in the wilderness. It must have been difficult for Joshua and Caleb to watch all their uncles and their mothers and their fathers, Moses, Miriam, Aaron, all those ones that God said would die. They all died. And there you are, an old man. Caleb's old. Joshua was younger. But Caleb was old, and by the time he goes to the promised land, he says he's 80 years old. He's the oldest man there. The priest, and when Aaron died, his son Eleazar takes over. He wasn't as old as Caleb. It would have been difficult. Don't you see how great a difficulty that would be to watch all of your friends, all of your loved ones pass away? We sort of see that when our loved ones pass away. But it's not for punishment, is it? Like the children of Israel. It's a little different. It must have been very difficult to see all your friends and relatives die. You live on and enter the promised land. Moses, Aaron, Miriam, sisters and brothers, elders of the tribes, they all pass away. Let's go to Numbers 37 then. And that's right before they go into the promised land. Oh no, Numbers 33. Sorry, Numbers 33. Moses is speaking to them. It's right before he's going to go up in the mountain, and God's going to let him die because he struck the rock, remember, and said he was the one doing it, gave the impression, I'm so angry at you, children of Israel. And he struck the rock, and he didn't give God the credit. Verse 51, speak to the children of Israel, Moses, and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, this is that time when they're going to enter, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their engraving stones, destroy all their molten images, and demolish all their high places. So he doesn't say, just do some of them. No, all of them. Verse 53, you shall dispose the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it. So they were to kill all the inhabitants of the land. And that sounds harsh, but God's in control, and he can resurrect them and bring them back at a time when they can understand the truth, which is a blessing. For I have given you the land to possess. Verse 54, and you shall divide the land by lots, an inheritance among your families. To the larger you shall give a larger inheritance. If you ever looked at the map of Israel, do you ever wonder why Manasseh had such huge territories on the east side of the Jordan and the west side of the Jordan? Because they never liked to live close together in cities. That's all I can come to. Ephraim was in a certain place, Joshua. But Manasseh had a huge area. It was spread out over both sides of the Jordan. Just interesting that God, that's how God cast the lots, and that's what God decided. Why? I don't know exactly why. He must not have liked to live in the cities, is all I can come up with. They must have been people who liked to be independent. And you shall divide the land in lots, inheritance among your families. To the larger you shall give a large inheritance, and to the smaller you shall give a smaller inheritance. There, every one inheritance shall be whatever falls to him by its lot. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers. Then he says, gives a warning to them, just like he gave a warning to their fathers. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes, you know, like sand in your eyes, and thorns in your sides, you know, when you walk through the thorny bushes and they jag into your legs, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them, because you'll be influenced by what they did, and you'll just start to worship idols. He's telling them, be careful. You'll follow the same principles as the people of the land that I'm rejecting. So the promise is there, are rehearsed to them. Numbers 34, let's go to 17 now. Numbers 34, verse 17. And these are the names of the men who shall divide the land among you in inheritance. Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun. So they were divided. And you shall take one leader of every tribe to divide the land for the inheritance. Now we won't read all those names, because I'm very poor at reading names, but we'll read the 19. These are the names of the men from the tribe of Judah. Caleb, the son of Jarosh. And then it goes on to describe him, but he's going to have a spot, right? You see, Caleb's still alive. So God's promise to Caleb was he was going to receive something special, a special place, and he was going to make it to the promised land. Let's go to Deuteronomy 32 now, in verse 1. This is Moses blessing the tribes. Nope, 32. It's a song. I got the wrong one. It's a song of Moses. Now, sometime you have time for yourselves, you read that song, because it has a tremendous amount of meaning in it. It talks about the going out of Egypt and so forth, and how God intervened and helped them. And it was a song that encouraged them to go forward and do what was right. But read it for yourselves. It's a long chapter. It starts in verse 1 and it goes all the way to verse 52. So you read that for yourselves sometime when you have time. It'll help you remember to keep your focus on God. That's what Moses was trying to teach the children of Israel. Keep your focus on God. So let's go to Joshua 14, verse 6 now. Joshua 14, verse 6. And I read this to you before, but I'll read it to you again so you get to see how old Caleb was when he went into the promised land. So Joshua 6, 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgad, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the words which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old, Caleb said, when Moses, the servant of God, sent me from that place to spy out the land. I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. So he saw it. Of course, he came back and was very encouraged, because he knew God saw all the things that take place of God, and God would take care of it. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So ask yourself, are you doing that? That's what Caleb did. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trod shall be your inheritance, and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. So it took them 40 years to wander the wilderness, and there must have been 5 years of conquering it. Ever since the Lord spoke these words of Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am, this day, 85 years old. Now I hope when I'm 85 years old, I'm like Caleb. I hope you all are when you're 85 years old. Listen to what he says. As yet, I am as strong this day as the day that Moses sent me out. When he was 40, he still was strong as he was at 85. How many men at 85 and women at 85 are like they were when they were 40? Not too many nowadays. Just as my strength was then, So now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in, so he could still go out and fight. Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in this day, that day. For you heard in the day how the Anakims were there, and that the city was great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jared, as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day. Because, why did he give it to him? Because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He put his whole heart into it. He never doubted him. The name, and it talks about where it was in verse 15. So he wholly followed the heart of the Lord God. He put his whole heart into it. He didn't give up. He believed him and he followed him. And he was 85 years old. He was as strong as he was when he was 40. I know my grandpa lived to be 87 years old, but his strength wasn't in his hands anymore like it was when he was 40. I remember when he was 75, he said, "Tom, you break the wrench. You take the wrench and break those nuts loose. I can't do it anymore." His strength wasn't there. But Caleb's was. And why was he had that strength at 85 years old? Because he put his whole heart into doing what God wanted. Can we say that about ourselves when we're 85 years old? Maybe we won't live that long. Maybe Christ will return before that. But if not, and you're 85 years old, what will you be like? We won't be all crippled up and have to have operations so we can keep walking. Caleb didn't. His bones didn't deteriorate and fall apart. God was with him. That doesn't mean that if you have that's any different. I'm just saying Caleb was some. God really protected him and helped him to be at 85 years old and have that strength. Well, how long did Caleb live after that? Well, there's no place that says where he died that I could find. But I read some different things. They say he lived to be 100 years old. So he lived in the promised land 15 years. He saw his grandchildren, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren. And I remember when my grandfather lived to be 100, he saw five generations. So probably Caleb did too. Saw five generations. And he was able to talk to them and said, "I remember going to the Red Sea. Don't forget it. God was there. I remember hearing the screams of the Egyptians when the firstborn died. It was horrible. Always to keep the Passover." Don't ever lose sight of where you're from and what God did for you. So in conclusion, what characteristics did Caleb have? He had faith, didn't he? He believed God. He saw it, and he had faith. And he was convicted by what he saw. Are we like that? Faith? Conviction? He had zeal. He was ready to run out when everyone around him was saying, "Oh, we can't go into the promised land. You can't go." "Yes, you can. God's going to be with us." He had zeal. He understood God would fight the battles for him. God would face the troops. Like Elijah said, when Elisha was there and says, "Oh, we're way out. No, what are we going to do?" And Elijah says to the prophet next to him, he says, "Just open his eyes, God, and let's show him your host behind him." All those angelic beings, 10,000 or more. And then he saw it, and then he wasn't fearful anymore. Caleb was totally convicted and had tremendous zeal. He saw the events of Egypt. He heard the cries of the Egyptians and their firstborn die. He witnessed the opening of the Red Sea, all by God's doing. He saw the cloud by day that kept them cool, and he saw the pillar by fire to give them light at night. And he knew God's protection was with them. He was convicted, in what God said and what he promised. No matter what, God would help them. Do we have that commitment? Do we have that zeal? Do we have that faith like Caleb? Caleb kept himself to do as God kept himself to do and help God and to encourage Israel. Do we encourage one another to stay focused on God, to follow him? What examples are we setting? Caleb set a fine example. What example are you and I setting? This individual was quite an individual to study. There was a lot of important things he taught us. Paul tells us to read these events that took place and to learn from them. We can learn an awful lot from Caleb, and there's probably more that I didn't even mention. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath day.